Let's read together 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. In this first half of chapter 3, we have the family likeness of righteousness emphasized as a test of Christian fellowship. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 3. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and yet it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself, just as He is pure. Once again, let's consider some background notes. We often sing that song, "I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God." What a great song, and what a great truth. That great truth that we are children in the family of God is brought before us in these three verses that we just read. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Think of it. If you're a believer here this morning, you are not only a forgiven sinner, you have been brought into the family of God. You've been born into the family of God. No wonder John says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. This is fantastic truth. The world does not know us. We've been saved out of this world and born into the family of God, verse 1. And it gets better than this, verse 2. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and yet it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. Right now, we are the children of God. But you can't tell that just by looking at us. However, when the Lord returns, there will be no doubt. Believers will have new resurrection bodies. We will be like Him, that is, morally like Him. We will have sinless bodies. Philippians 3, verse 21 says that our present lowly bodies will be transformed and conformed to His glorious body. You know, I'm so glad that when I see the Lord face to face, I will be in my sinless body. Aren't you glad for that fact? Think that through. There's a lot of implications there. We shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. By the way, our sinless resurrection state will not be like Adam's before the fall. Before the fall, Adam was sinless, but he was able to sin. In glory, we will not only be sinless, but we will not be able to sin. We will be like Him. So in that coming day, it will be quite obvious who's in the family of God. However, even now, there should be some evidence that we're in the family of God, if you're a believer. And that's what the rest of the chapter is all about. If you're in the family of God, there should be evidence of family likeness. Now, we use the expressions like father, like son, and chip off the old block when we observe similar expressions and mannerisms in father and son. In the same way, if we are in the family of God, we should exhibit family traits or likenesses. In fact, these family likenesses become a test of true Christian fellowship. The first likeness that John mentions is righteousness. And that brings us to our doctrinal or teaching point for this first half of 1 John chapter 3. The family likeness of righteousness is a test of Christian fellowship. The family likeness of righteousness is a test of Christian fellowship. Verses 4 through 10. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him there is no sin. Whoever abides in Him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen Him nor known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as He is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Notice how the family likeness of righteousness is more than just a family resemblance. It's a test of Christian fellowship. If you're practicing righteousness, it's evidence that you are a true believer and you really pass the test of Christian fellowship and you really are in the family of God. If, on the other hand, you are practicing sin and not practicing righteousness, then it is evidence that you are only a professing Christian and you're not a true believer, and you fail the test of Christian fellowship, and you're not in the family of God. So under this doctrinal point, then, we have two obvious subpoints. A, those who practice sin fail the test, and B, those who practice righteousness pass the test. So subpoint A, those who practice sin fail the test. Verse 9, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Wait a minute. What is this verse saying anyway? It can't be saying that Christians are sinless. I mean, that would leave us all out. Furthermore, John would be contradicting himself. Remember what we read back in chapter 1, verse 10, and this is addressed to believers. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. What's the answer here anyway? The answer is that the Greek present tense is used here. Remember we said that the Greek present tense implies continuous action. So the idea here is that whoever is born of God does not continue to live a life of sin, or habitually sin, or practice sin. Many of your translations make this clear. When you become a Christian, you are born into the family of God. You now have new divine life. And this seed remains in us, verse 9. This is not only assurance of our eternal security, but it is why a true believer will not live a life of sin. Verse 6. Whoever abides in him does not sin, that is, does not keep on sinning, does not habitually sin, does not lead a life of sin, does not practice sin. If you claim to be a Christian, but you're having an affair, or running an illegal business, or have no control of a sinful thought life, or only do your own selfish thing and continually hate any kind of authority in your life, that is, you are lawless at heart, as verse 4 says, then you should examine your heart and see if you really are a Christian. Have you at some point in your life truly committed your life to the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Those who practice sin fail the test and are not in the family of God. Subpoint B, those who practice righteousness pass the test. Those who practice righteousness pass the test. Verse 7. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Let's start with the last phrase of this verse. He is righteous. Go back to the end of verse 5. In him there is no sin. That is, in Christ, there is no sin. You know, this is one of the big three scriptures dealing with the absolute perfection of our Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he knew no sin. 1 Peter 2:22 says, he did no sin. And here in 1 John 3:5, we read, in him is no sin. The apostles Paul, Peter, and John all testify to the sinlessness of Christ in these three wonderful and powerful scriptures. Back to verse 7. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Now, what does that mean? It certainly doesn't mean we become sinless, as we've already seen. Here's the point. When we become Christians, receive Christ as our personal Savior, we not only get a ticket to heaven, forgiveness of sins, we are born into the family of God. And when we are born into the family of God, the new life that we receive is righteous. In fact, 2 Peter 1:4 says that we are partakers of the divine nature. Thus, the new life in us is righteous, as He is righteous. Now, we still sin because we still have our fallen, sinful natures, and we will continue to sin until we get our new resurrection bodies in glory. But because of the new righteous life that we now have in Christ, we will not live a life of sin. Our lives will not be characterized by sin. We will not practice sin, but we will practice righteousness. Our lives will be characterized by wanting to do what is right. Now, if that's true in your life this morning, you've passed the test. You're in the Christian fellowship for sure, because you have the family likeness of righteousness. Notice, by the way, with the Apostle John, there is no middle ground. If you don't pass the test of righteousness, you're not only not in the family of God, you're in the family of Satan. Beginning of verse 8, he who sins is of the devil. That is, he who practices sin is of the devil. And the beginning of verse 10, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Namely, this matter of practicing righteousness or practicing sin. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. So how is it in your life? Are you practicing righteousness or practicing sin? There is no middle ground. You're either a child of God or a child of the devil. The family likeness of righteousness is a test of Christian fellowship. What about practical application? Always think of the Lord's return. Always think of the Lord's return. Go back to verse 3. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. What hope? The sure hope of verse 2. We know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Verse 3 is saying that as we think of the Lord's return and of the changes that will take place in us then, it will have a sanctifying or purifying effect on our lives now. Try this experiment. Every day this coming week, 3 times a day, maybe at mealtime, that'll force you to do it 3 times a day. Think of the Lord's return and say, maybe the Lord will return today. Try this for a week, and you will see how it definitely will have a purifying effect on your life as a believer. It may even revolutionize your life. Always think of the Lord's return.